The Tom Woods Show, episode 2310.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I am running into a lot of progressives saying, look, police, fire, schools, these are all great examples of socialism. Well, let's focus on that school example. I've got a free ebook called Education Without the State that makes a pretty darn good case for a stateless approach to education. Pick it up at nostateeducation.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I am here with my new friend, Gene Owens of the band Faithless Town. And let's say they've been involved in a teensy-weensy bit of controversy that is the kind of controversy that listeners of this program eat up, let's say, right? We make a steady diet of this type of controversy. But also, I like their music. And as a matter of fact, Gene, before we dive into the big stuff, I watched the video for Bride, and I listened to that song. Now, how long ago was that?
First, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on the show, Tom. It's a great honor to be here.
My pleasure.
Bride was released on February 10th, right before Valentine's Day, and it was written as an ode to my wife. I actually wrote it while I was preparing to propose to her several years ago, back in 2019, and we released a music video for it on Valentine's. So that's pretty recent. Just came out a couple months ago or a month ago.
I thought it was a recent one, because I wanted to get to know more about you guys, because I listened to the controversial stuff. Then I wanted to know, all right, well, what do they do when they're not thinking about matters of existential dread? And I just love that song. I sent it to my own wife, actually, as soon as I heard it. I sent her the link. I said, just listen to this. I didn't tell her that I knew you, you're going to be on the show. I just said, check this out. And she was very moved that I would think to send her a song like this. Well, it's partly because I know the guy. And so I kind of know the guy a little bit at this point. So how long has there been a band called Faithless Town?
Faithless Town started as a music project of mine in 2008. So I'm horrible at math, but it's been a while. It's been some time. And the lineup of the band has gone through multiple different incarnations, but I've always been the principal songwriter and frontman of the project.
Okay, so having said that, are you the kind of band where the like, for example, one of my favorite bands in the world is a band nobody's ever heard of. I had the lead singer on, David Longdon from Big Big Train. I had him on this program. Then he died a couple of years ago to everybody's shock and surprise. Absolutely should not have happened. But I found out that even though he has, in my opinion, maybe the best or had the best voice in all of rock music, which is an astonishing claim, but I think it's plausible. He worked at a convenience store part-time, and I thought, I don't want to live in this world anymore, that I turn the radio on and there's so much uninteresting material coming out of it, and here's an incredible musician who's working at a convenience store. So are you guys full-time into this, or do you have paying gigs that keep you going?
So yeah, that's the sad state of music these days, unfortunately. There are bands that you've probably, many people have heard of and love, that are even on record labels, that when they come back from tour, they go back to their day jobs. And this is a phenomenon that has been a result of streaming and the internet and piracy. At the time when Metallica was speaking before Congress and saying something has to be done about this, this is going to devalue music, and nobody took them seriously because they were already multimillionaires and they were seen as being selfish or greedy. But they were really speaking out about something that they saw on the horizon that was going to seriously disrupt the industry. And I think it has. Most people now don't purchase physical media. They don't buy records. They don't buy CDs. They stream things. And the streaming platforms share a very, very marginal share of the revenue with the artists and content creators. So unfortunately, many artists, many musicians, very much the same way as many actors and thespians, have to have a day job or have something else to allow them to continue to make their art.
So talk to me about, you have a couple of songs that are obviously engaged in the debate about what we might call the medical surveillance state, or, you know, the COVID regime, or whatever it is that you want to say to refer to what we've endured for the past few years. So you have a song called Do Not Comply. I'm going to link to the video at tomwoods.com/2310, because they took that video off YouTube. It's just a music video. They took that off. And the other one is Live Free. Have you guys always been doing political commentary like that?
We haven't as a band per se. I have been pretty vocal and active as an activist for the majority of my adult life. That activism started in the early 2000s in reaction to the George W. Bush regime and the Patriot Act and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was very involved in the anti-war movement at the time. I was living in Los Angeles and I was an organizer with a group called Not In Our Name. And then I put out a couple solo albums at that time. I was very young and I like to think I grew a lot as a musician. It's one of those things I go back and I listen. I'm like, oh man, I'm such a better singer now. But still my heart and my mind is still in that same place. I was against wars of empire and sending our sons and daughters off to fight for resources and assets that would benefit the Halliburton and Bechtels of the world and the Dick Cheneys and George W's of the world. And I was speaking out for human freedom and human dignity, and that hasn't changed. And so when I saw what was happening in the world in 2020, I felt that once again, I had to use my voice as an artist to speak out against it, because I think we have seen the greatest human rights violations, at least of our country in modern times. Obviously, the slave trade and the horrible things like the witch hunts and things like that in our past are very dark. But in terms of modern times, locking down an entire nation indiscriminately and depriving them of the right to work and live and enacting policies that have really adversely impacted the poorest communities. I just had to speak out and lend my voice to resistance to that.
What about your fellow musicians in the band? I mean, did you just happen to be surrounded by people who agreed with you on a matter that for some people was quite controversial?
No. As many people, I think, listening can relate, there's been a lot of divisiveness over the past few years, even preceding COVID. And a lot of people at politics and these false dichotomies of if you question this narrative, then that makes you a Trumper or vice versa. It's really caused a lot of rifts between friends and family. It's very sad to see. And COVID just accelerated that. And some people that played in my band for quite some time, almost a decade, some of those bandmates didn't see eye to eye with me on the mask mandates, on the lockdowns, on, as you were calling, basically the biosecurity police state, the biosecurity state. And so we had falling outs. I had a guitar player tell me, because you don't wear a mask, I can never be in the same room with you. And it's kind of hard to collaborate with somebody and make music that won't share the same space with you.
Yeah. I always wonder about these people who were that fanatical about it, if they ever had second thoughts, given that the world doesn't look the way it should if those masks were really doing anything. I mean, they got rid of masks on planes and we were told what a catastrophe this would be. You can't even see that on the charts. If I said, here's a chart of health outcomes over time, I want you to pick out where on this chart the airport and airline mask mandate was lifted, you wouldn't be able to. Now, if they really did anything, you absolutely would. You absolutely would be able to see that on the chart. But it's like none of this matters to some people.
100%. I mean, it's at the point where I've just given up trying to argue the data points anymore, because the people that have bought so hard into this ideology or the COVID cult, they won't look at the RCT studies. They won't look at like the research that the Cochrane Institute just published showing the masks had little to really no effect whatsoever. They won't just believe in their own eyes. Look at Florida. Look at a state that was basically open the whole time and there wasn't mass casualty events. So these people that have been so thoroughly brainwashed by this campaign of fear that has been put out by the government and the captured media outlets and the big tech outlets, they're just too far gone into this mass formation, as Matthias Desmet calls it. They're just under the spell. And no matter how much evidence we can bring to them to show them that that contradicts their position, they are just unmoving in it.
So now I do want to get into some of the themes in a couple of songs, but let's go ahead to what happened to you guys recently, where you had a booking to appear somewhere and What exactly happened? It was canceled on you, and why?
Yeah, so we were supposed to play a small venue here in Athens, Georgia. That's where I live. I actually came back here in 2020 because I was living in Los Angeles and playing music and working actually in the entertainment industry there at the time. And when LA came under some of the strictest draconian lockdowns, my wife and I fled to Georgia and came back to Athens where she had grown up and where her parents still live. And we ended up taking up residence here. So yes, last week we were supposed to play a show in the town in which I live. I will say it's a town that I have been kind of reluctant to take much of an active part in the community because it is a small college town and it is heavily captured by woke ideology or the progressive left ideology. And so I've been kind of reluctant to even try to play or perform here for the past few years. We've played on the outskirts of Athens and we've played the bulk of our shows either in the Atlanta area or in Nashville. So we were scheduled to play at the small venue in Athens called Flicker Theater. And it was an hour before we were supposed to load in and set up for the show that I got a call from my bass player saying, the show has been canceled because people have been calling the venue and basically making these claims that, insert whatever horrible derogatory word you would like to use, but something to the effect of Nazi, fascist. Of course, this was alarming. I've been playing music for over 20 years. I've never had anyone put pressure on a venue to want to cancel my performance.
And by the way, if there's one thing the Nazis are remembered for, it's medical freedom.
Exactly. It's astounding, the cognitive dissonance, the inversion of truths and realities now that we find ourselves in this world. I'm against the forced injecting of people with an experimental medical device that was literally in part funded and developed by DARPA. So I'm opposed to people being forced to take that so they can maintain their livelihoods, keep their jobs, see their family members. I'm opposed to that. And in the eyes of these regressive leftist authoritarian ideologues, they perceive that as fascism, which just is such a head scratcher, the mental acrobatics involved.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's not like these are people who are arguing in good faith. So there's almost no point in trying to figure out why they're attaching certain terms to certain things. They live in an alternate universe and or they just want to destroy people. So the idea that both sides of a dispute like this are just impartially evaluating the truth of the matter is a delusion. That is absolutely not what is happening.
100%. And these people refuse to have any sort of dialogue. So if some of these angry and loud fringe voices like Antifa, for instance, because I think the local chapter of Antifa here in Georgia was instrumental in kind of smearing me and mischaracterizing me and my activism and my positions, and that influenced this mob to put pressure, start calling the venue, and how dare you let these people play there? And they buckled to it and they canceled our show. And what's even more sad is the other bands just went on with the show without us, even because they don't want to be associated with anything that is targeted. That's how this atmosphere, this climate of fear and intimidation, this culture of fear and intimidation exists and thrives, because people don't stand up to it. People acquiesce to it.
Hey, everybody, quick message from Old Woods here. As a husband and the father of five daughters, I have a lot of people who are depending on me. And if anything were to happen, I would want them to be cared for. All the expenses they have will keep on coming with or without me. And so I provide for them with life insurance, which is the kind of thing a lot of people put off and they mean to get to and they never do. But you got to do it. And with Policy Genius, I promise you, you're going to find that it's much less expensive than you thought. As a matter of fact, with Policy Genius, you can compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks and find the lowest price for you. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. No added fees, your personal details are private. They've got thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, so they can impartially help you navigate your choices. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description or on the show notes page to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. What do you think was going on in the video for your song, Do Not Comply, that it would actually have been banned from YouTube?
Well, YouTube sent us a message. They pulled the video and they said that the video violates their policies on medical misinformation. To test the waters, after they pulled it, I put up an acoustic version of the song where it's just me performing the song on an acoustic guitar in front of the camera. That was allowed to stay up. So my guess is something in the imagery, if your listeners watch the video, you'll see it. We had a brilliant stop motion animator animate the video set to the lyrics of the song. And I'm sure they took issue with the imagery of it. And a lot of the imagery, some of it comes from the anti-lockdown and medical freedom rallies that took place all over the world, especially those that took place in New York City. And a lot of the photos come from a fantastic photographer who goes by the moniker Souls of a Movement, who has been doing an excellent job of documenting the people's movements of resistance to true tyranny and fascism. And he's currently in Paris right now, covering and documenting those protests.
What do you notice among the fans? I mean, when people come to see you, do any of them comment on any of the political stuff, or are they just there because they like to hear good live music?
I think there's both. I've definitely gotten both feedbacks. There's some people that are oblivious to our political message because it's not too overt. We have a handful of songs like Live Free and Do Not Comply, and a song called New World Order. There's basically an anti-authoritarian song. It's about a global authoritarian regime taking control of our civilization. And I think, sadly, we're seeing that happen. And we're seeing the collusion between governments to fall lockstep in line with true dictatorships and authoritarians like communist China and adopt their practices and policies as a way to mitigate a virus or as a public health policy. It's really terrifying. And to see pretty much every government fall lockstep in line with that and collaborate to that end should give everyone pause.
You mentioned that you were an anti-war guy, which put you a little bit out of the establishment years ago because the establishment was pretty well on board for that war. I mean, there were some dissenting voices, but Hillary and Mitt were both in favor, and the major newspapers, whether quote liberal or quote conservative, were all in favor. So that puts you a little bit outside. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you had your full worldview already established. So when would you say you were pretty set in your views, and how did you get set in those particular views? These are not opinions that are being taught to school kids, let's say.
Well, I think I've seen through the two-party illusion for quite some time. I saw the warmongering of Bill Clinton when I was a child, when I saw sanctions being imposed upon the people of Iraq that really, more than anything, were just hurting poor people that weren't part of any horrible or a tyrannical regime. They were hurting the poorest people that did not have a voice. And so I've seen through that two-party illusion for a long time now. And just being aware of events like the bombing of the MOVE organization in Philadelphia, or the events surrounding JFK assassination, Operation Phoenix in Vietnam, it's all out there in the open to learn and read about. But we definitely aren't taught it, like you said, in schools. So, yeah, I think at a young age, I was raised by two first-generation immigrants in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And both of them instilled in me a strong sense of right and wrong. And it didn't matter what party affiliation you were. It was a matter of what's right and what's wrong. And they also instilled a strong sense of hard work and personal accountability. And my father especially taught me to stand up to bullies, because if you let the schoolyard bully shake you down for your lunch money on day one, the next day they want your backpack. The day after that, they want your shoes. It's not until you stand up to them that they will finally leave you alone. And I don't like bullies. And I don't like it when they hide behind the title of politician or the title of a public health expert or the title of a far left activist that is trying to silence or cancel somebody in the name of inclusion and tolerance. I don't like bullies, and I refuse to acquiesce to them. And I think we all need to find our courage because the hour is getting late.
I hear that. I've said many times how utterly depressing it was for me to observe the way everybody just kind of buckled on this. So now let's imagine we're back in summer of 2020. I would assume that performing live music brings you enormous pleasure, right? Safe to assume that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And it looked like there was just no prospect of it coming back. That maybe at some distant, unforeseeable time, it could conceivably come back. But for the time being, there was no prospect of it. Or the following year, there's a prospect of it, but you have to get the shot. Can you let us into where your mind was in both of those moments?
Yeah, absolutely. I did have that thought. And I said to myself, how do we move forward? How do we do this? Yeah, how are we going to play music and have gatherings and do all these human things that we need, that we are mammals and we need that connection. We need that physical in-person connection with others. And all that was under attack over the past 3 years of stopping weddings and celebrations and concerts. And so in 2020, when I basically had to rebuild my band from scratch, like I said, I did not see eye to eye, or the people that I were playing with me didn't see eye to eye with my position. So I built my band back up from scratch. And the first show we did was in April of 2021. Well, most venues here were still locked down. They decried it was too unsafe, especially here in Athens. They all stayed locked down as long as they possibly could, far longer than most places in the country. While at the same token, right down the street, college football was going on and thousands of people were packing into a stadium for that. And once again, no mass casualty event of people dropping dead from these events. But anyway, in April of 2021, we decided to just put on our own shows. So for our first show back, we found a restaurant in the outskirts of Atlanta that had a big private room, and we just threw our own concert with two other bands that were like-minded. And it was really well attended. It was a lot of work because that private room didn't have its own PA and it wasn't really set up for that. But we put in the work and we had a great event. And so I thought, if nothing else, this is how we will move forward, how we'll have events. We'll put on our own shows. We don't need the traditional venues. We don't need the traditional avenues to do it. We can do it ourselves.
Yeah. You know, that's reminding me of, I had the folks from Right Said Fred on the show. So they're the guys who sing I'm Too Sexy.
Yes. I'm a big fan of how outspoken they've been.
Oh, good. So you're aware of that. Yeah. So they've been really great on this. And I had them on and they were absolutely insisting they would never, ever be part of any performance that made that requirement of the audience. And as we were recording, they were saying they were on their way, I think, to Portugal to try to work out some big festival where you could have music without it. And so, of course, this has all come and gone for the most part. Every once in a while, you run into some crazy outlier. But for the most part, this has come and gone. And I have to say, as horrible as it all was, I was pleasantly surprised at how quickly it all disappeared. But it didn't disappear, I don't think, because the people involved said, this is probably an unjust imposition on people to make this demand of them. Rather, it's that venues and geographic locations, tourist destinations, found that they could not prosper without us, without the refuseniks like you and me. Mm-hmm. Even though we may not have been the majority, we were a big minority, big enough for them to take notice and say, oh, you know what? On second thought, you can come on in. So that is some comfort.
It is some comfort. And let's just say that those injections didn't do what they were supposed to do. The whole premise, right, of showing proof that you were injected was showing that you couldn't spread the virus, which we now know is proven to be false, that it doesn't stop transmission. And in fact, these people have even admitted that they didn't even do trials to ensure that it stopped transmission. So these people like Fauci and Walensky of the CDC, they outright lied to people. And then these venues and other local politicians, they just adopted those policies that were all based upon a lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think it's those things ended because there was pushback. Every little win that we've had is because they've been hard won by people's efforts, by ending the mask mandate on airplanes to these policies. And they really are policies of segregation. We should call it for what it is. Their segregation. And for the left, who claims to care so much about minorities and those that have been marginalized groups, one of the groups that had the lowest uptake of the vaccine was the African-American community. So in these places that were requiring proof of the injection, they were basically turning away, in large part, the Black community. And it's astounding that the modern left cannot see that, cannot see that they have become the very thing that they claimed that they were opposing.
Do you think what happened to you with that show is a fluke? Or are you worried this is just going to follow you around everywhere?
I hope it is. I hope it's a fluke. I hope that the slanderous claims and the outrage from some fringe illiberal group will fall on the deaf ears of normal, reasonable people, especially here in the South, especially here in Georgia, of all places. I'm not playing San Francisco or New York City even. So I hope that it is a fluke, and I hope it's a thing that we can all learn from. And I know there's people in the local community that are fighting back and are trying to say, we can't let this be normalized. You know, one of the saddest things about what happened is that two of the people involved in getting me canceled for this performance, they work for a local nonprofit that was founded as a resource for musicians and was founded by a woman whose son took his own life. And she founded the organization as a resource to prevent musicians from being depressed or being isolated, and that there would be a supportive, inclusive community to welcome them. And both the manager of this nonprofit organization and one of the employees were instrumental in leading this cancellation campaign against me over the past week. So the irony of that is not lost on me. But I hope it's a fluke. I hope this isn't something that good, reasonable people will bow to. I don't know if the mob will stop attacking me, but I know that I will not stop speaking out, and I won't bow to them, and I won't back down, and I will continue to stand for the things that I've always stood for, which are freedom, civil liberties, and everyone's right to have dignity and have a successful and purposeful livelihood.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very important, especially because, as we saw, the arts community did not come out of this looking particularly good or brave, musicians chief among them. And we saw that even among professional musicians who are household names, you can pretty much name on one hand how many of them actually came out and said something. And then, of course, if you're an up-and-coming musician or a small-time musician, you feel like if I say anything, they're going to destroy my career before it even gets started. And so the result is everybody just stays quiet. So I hope that somebody like you, who has the stones to say something, will be supported. And I hope people who are listening in here will give you a chance and listen to some of the material you put out. And so, as I say, I'll have embedded at tomwoods.com/2310 a few of your videos, and people should check them out, or just any app you use to listen to music, just check out Faithless Town and give a few of the songs a try. And you'll say, this Gene Owens is a pretty good guy. He's not just sound on all these things, but he actually makes good music. And this will be a win for everybody except the bad guys. So, Gene, I'll give you the opportunity for a final word.
Well, thank you once again, Tom, for having me on. And a quick shout out to the drummer in my band, Scott, who recommended that I reach out to you. So thank you, Scott. And just like you said, Tom, if anyone wants to support us as an independent artist, we have no label, we have no suits behind us, we're doing this all ourselves, please show some support. Visit our website, www.faithlesstown.com. You can buy our albums on there. You can make a donation to support what we're doing. And I just appreciate you once again, Tom, for having me on. And everyone out there, don't despair. Stay fearless.
Thank you very much, Gene. Again, tomwoods.com/2310 is where to go. Do you want to also mention a website? Because I'll also put that up.
Faithlesstown.com
makes sense.
Yeah, the one-stop spot to find all of our stuff and support what we do.
All right, I'm going to put that up also. All right, well, best of luck to you, Gene. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, everybody, before we wrap up, I want to share some happy news, particularly with my long-suffering Canadian listeners. They're not suffering because of me. They're suffering because of the ruling authorities in Canada. And I'm happy to say there's a really, really great program coming up in person in Calgary. There's another one coming up later in the year in Vancouver, but the first one is in Calgary, and it's called Capitalism and Morality. And of course, you're welcome to come from anywhere in the world to attend, but Capitalism and Morality is going to feature a bunch of top-notch speakers like Per Bieland, senior fellow of the Mises Institute, Tim Moen, great guy, former leader of the Libertarian Party of Canada, been a guest on this show more than once. Maxime Bernier, who's with the People's Party of Canada. Outstanding program waiting for you on May 20th in Calgary. So you're going to want to check that out at capitalismandmorality.com. And I am sure a lot of you could stand to meet like-minded people. And for those of you who have been meaning to visit Canada, because many parts of it are very beautiful, here's an opportunity to do that. So as I say, in September, there'll be an event in Vancouver, but for now, we want to focus on May 20th in Calgary. Check it out, capitalismandmorality.com. And remember, if you're thinking of starting a brand new website or blog, I can help you promote it. Get the details at tomwoods.com/publicity. Before you start that website, check out tomwoods.com/publicity and see how you can get me to promote your site on my show. And I'll do a bunch of other things that'll help make it easier on you, like give you some tutorials and give you membership in my special group where we all help each other who have started websites. Sometimes you have tech issues or marketing issues, whatever. We all help each other in there. I give you all these things for free. So how you get them? Check out tomwoods.com/publicity. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.